Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
On today's show, the fabulous Adam Richard returns for an episode of Pop Friday. My name is Justin Hamilton, and I'm diving from the top floor into TV culture on Big Squid. Hello and welcome to the podcast. Things have been quite sporadic here of late as I've been recovering from COVID for a third time, and it feels like there are some lingering effects this time around. So things have been all right, like nothing to really worry about, but it's also been a lot. So if you've been wondering what's been happening, that's basically where I'm at of late, and also working on a couple of other projects that we will talk about at some other point. A quick plug for next Wednesday, the 3rd of May, when I'm headlining the Canberra Comedy Club. Show starts at 7:30 p.m. so if you live in Canberra and are around, I'd love to see you there. Also a big thank you to everyone who came to my shows in the Melbourne Comedy Festival. The live Big Squid podcast was a hoot, and the solo show on the Monday night was, look, to be completely honest with you, it was my favourite ever gig at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. My favourite solo show experience. I think back in 2007 when I did three shows in Three Colours Hamo in one day, and then went off and did the third one that night. So it was like four shows in one day. That was a pretty good experience as well. I can't go past that. But just from a pure stand-up point of view, it was, I reckon it's probably my favorite gig of all time. So it might sound like hyperbole, but it's been a few weeks and I've thought about it a lot and made sure that I got a bit of the recency bias out the way. So if you were one of the people there, thank you so much for coming along and helping to make it such a fun night. I've been performing in Melbourne since 1995, at the Melbourne Comedy Festival since 1995. So to be in a situation where you're still experiencing new highs is really something, and not anything that I take for granted. Also, quickly, if you want to laugh at something that has happened online, head to my Instagram page at Justin Hamilton Comedian, and you can check out my latest reel that is up to 1.4 million views. I don't know how it's happened. That's insane. But part of my management put together this reel from the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, filmed at the Sydney Opera House. And it's, I've gone viral. I've had COVID and I've gone viral. How weird. What a weird year it's been. So anyway, if you want to check out a solid 60-second routine, that is waiting there for you now. All right, I'll swing by very quickly at the end, or very briefly, I should say, at the end. But now let's bring in Adam as we're talking TV with a side order of movies. We're back. It's a Pop Friday. It's been 17 years since we did our last one.
87 years.
Hey, it's been so long. It's been so long. I've had COVID for a third time. That was great.
You're here, there's nothing.
It's been delicious. It's been great. I want to get it as many times as possible.
I don't know how you're coping.
Right.
It was seriously one of the most delightful things I think I've ever done for someone who is unwell. When I turned up here while you were in the midst of COVID with a Cinnabon claiming to be from Gene Takovic.
Yeah, I know. It was, and that thing was so fucking delicious. And I managed to stretch that out over 4 days.
Yes.
I just ate a little bit here, a little bit there. Because a girl needs to watch her weight when she's not getting any exercise. Am I right?
So, tell me about it. With my busted knee, I have to watch my calories.
Oh, man.
It's been quite painful.
You've got your busted knee. I'm trying to get the record amount of COVIDs.
Oh, my God. I feel like COVID is, you know, attracted to you in some way. I think you are the vibes.
We're in a toxic relationship where it's like I see other viruses. Like at the moment, I'm seeing psoriasis at the moment. I just don't know if it's going to work out. I might go back to COVID, actually. I feel like at least I know where I stand. Anyway.
This is Justin's medical ailments.
Yes. Ring in now and let us know what's wrong with you. I had a moment of, you won't be able to relate to this because you've been in a loving relationship with your partner, the Gaza, for a long time. But I had a moment of realizing why I'm single when I went and saw the new Ari Aster film, Bo Is Afraid, which is a 3-hour movie about anxiety. And it was great.
About anxiety. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
oh,
it's really full on. But I loved it. But anyway, and then I got home. And I was watching TV, and this place gets quite warm, so sometimes I'll just not wear a shirt. Just, I hope you're enjoying that, ladies, and some men, possibly. And I found a bit of popcorn in my navel.
And how long had that been there?
Well, I don't know, because I didn't eat popcorn.
It was a 3-hour movie.
I didn't eat popcorn at the cinema.
Oh, man.
I had chips. So anyway.
You had, like, do you find your belly button, Gary, because I'm hairy, and Gary is not, he thinks my belly button is the lint trap in the dryer.
Yeah.
Because it just collects things.
Yes.
Just everything seems to end up in there.
Yeah. It's phenomenal.
Loose change, you know, the Beaumont children.
I was just about to say it, but you got in first. Has anyone checked Adam's navel? It's in there. Jesus. We should have gone here first. Anyway,
I can't believe I went to the. That's the oldest joke in the world.
Well, it's never not funny.
The sad old hack.
That's all right.
The dad died the other day, which is sad. I saw.
Oh, that's why it's in. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Man,
that is disappointing. Anyway, let's not get too serious because.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, but there was popcorn in my navel.
Well, it's a perfect start to the pop culture podcast.
Yes.
Is the popcorn.
Popcorn. That maybe that'll be the title of my next show. Popcorn in the navel.
Popcorn in the navel.
Yeah. Popcorn in the navel. All right. You've got places to go and I have 6 shows that I want to talk about
with you.
But I reckon a couple of them were just going to touch base.
Yeah. I've seen a movie as well.
Oh, what movie did you see?
I watched Ghosted on the Apple Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a movie.
Mate, it looks fucking awful. I like those two leads.
Yeah, Chris Evans is great. Ana de Armas is great. The film feels like a paint-by-numbers script.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil it for anyone that might want to watch it. But so I can't tell you what the funniest thing in it is. But the funniest thing in it is there's a bunch of cameos that you're like, oh, I didn't know that person was in it. I don't know that person was in it. And then that's the fact that it's who they are that makes it funny. But in the end, it's a bit meh.
Yeah, it looks fucking diabolical.
Oh,
and we are, the movies are doing actors a disservice because it maybe Chris Evans isn't very good.
Yeah.
But I think he is.
Yeah, he's fine.
But maybe. But, you know, you can't tell because the movies that, like, he should be in a romantic action comedy.
Yeah.
Look, I read the synopsis of it and it sounds problematic, to be honest.
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, the other thing, I just don't think it's very well directed.
Right.
I don't know that Dexter Fletcher is much of a director. Like, just like big action sequences are played too much for laughs.
Right.
You know, it's got kind of like a True Lies sort of vibe where you're like, and I don't think James Cameron is the funniest person who ever lived. Like,
no.
And there are just some jokes in True Lies that I'm like, someone should have talked you out of that.
Yes. Yes. And this has got a similar vibe.
Yeah.
Isn't he just, like, texting her 10 or 11 times trying to...
Yeah. And there's all that.
But it's...
Yeah, that's all difficult and weird. And that's kind of addressed in the, like, in the movie.
They're right,
like, you're not okay with the way you're behaving. Like, you're too clingy.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just something about the action sequences just feel kind of plastic and green screeny and... Yeah, just have no kind of weight to them.
Yes, yes. A lot of these movies have that problem now where it's like, there's, of course we're suspending disbelief when we watch these films. Like, I'm not, like when I'm watching Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know what? I'm suspending disbelief, but Harrison Ford could have been actually hurt if that fucking thing rolled over him at the start because it was heavy and like it was real.
There's a scene where they're driving, you know, one of those highly decorated buses that you find in certain parts of, you know, South Asia.
Like, okay, yeah.
You know. And so they're driving one of those and she's driving it in reverse the whole time. And you just never feel like there's any problem with that.
Right.
Like, I wanted to feel like that it was, A, bad enough that they're in a car chase with one of these buses, but B, it's a, you know, she's driving it backwards. Oh, my God, how terrifying is this?
Yes.
And it's just a bus going backwards.
Right, yes.
Like, there's no, I don't know, I just felt like there was no jeopardy in the action sequences. They just felt too cartoony. Also, everyone in movies and TV wears too much makeup now. Like Jason Sudeikis looks like he's drowning.
Let's not, all right. Oh, no, maybe we should just go straight to Ted Lasso.
Let's go.
But by the way...
Apple Plus. Maybe that's another thing. So much product placement for Apple products in this film. It's out of control.
Yeah. That's a shame because she's the best thing in the last James Bond movie.
Yeah.
So she can obviously...
Yes.
...handle a movie like this.
And I thought this... I thought that was going to be the thing. But I guess that's, you know, a good director and a mediocre director.
Yeah.
And she's just... She's just a pretty girl holding a gun in this.
Right. You know, continuing my ongoing series of bringing most things back to the things I love, at least John David Washington has trouble driving the car when he first gets into it in Tenet.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really feel that he's in complete control of it because it's kind of going against what he's used to.
Yeah. And every time Indy drives a car backwards, forward, sideways, you're like, do you know what you're doing?
Yeah, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's only just barely getting by. And I get that she's a super competent super spy.
No, but it's a fucking bus.
Yeah.
And backwards.
It's a highly decorated bus. Like, it's, you know, they shoot all the people off it, which also is problematic. They were going somewhere. If someone came and got me off the 320, I'd be like, no, I need to get to Central Station. I'm staying on.
Yeah. Yeah. I got places to go.
I've got a crutch, can't you see?
Yeah. Stand up.
Got an accessibility device. Now get out of my way.
Well, let's use that as a segue, the makeup segue into Sudeikis and Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Which is having a very interesting experience with it, where I'm still finding the show delightful.
Yes.
I found lots of the later... You're up to date, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
I found lots of the things that happened on Wednesday night... quite delightful and quite and sometimes things that I felt like I needed, like, you know, this is going to be full of spoilers, so if you don't want anything ruined, tune out now, but the team coming to clean up,
that
was a genuinely very sweet moment, but the show is too long.
Way too long.
Why is Keely off on in her own TV show?
Why is she having her own show?
Nate was too much of a fuckhead in the second season for me to now...
He's not... He hasn't done enough to be rehabilitated. He doesn't deserve this.
He doesn't deserve this because they did such a good job in the first season of showing these little fucking shithead moments from him. So when he did turn into a heel, it made sense. Now, I'm totally up for a redemption story.
Yeah.
But...
Where's the redemption been?
So he...
One supermodel was mean to him. And that's enough for us to suddenly go, oh, yeah, you're worthwhile.
Yeah.
No.
And I just don't buy that that woman would have been interested in
it. No. I don't get that at all.
Like, I've never...
Unless she's going to do the dirty on him and then he'll turn... I don't know where it's going and I don't care. Is another problem. Yeah. I don't care about Nate's storyline. Like, they have not given me...
No.
If it was more of Rupert being a dick to him, I'd be like, yeah, give us more of that. Give us more of his dissatisfaction at work.
Him suddenly realizing after Ted believing in him and, you know, not being perfect, that's a much better friendship to have than the person who is being uber nice to you.
Yeah.
You're
probably wide-anting you when they walk out of the room.
Right. Well, you also had Rebecca do the thing of explaining to Keely what Jack was doing.
Yeah.
So you could have had that running parallel.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, it's just been a misstep. I did feel very happy, and I've been discussing this for ages. I needed Ted to come up with a good idea because he's been such a fucking idiot. I just didn't understand why anyone was listening to him apart from him being nice.
Yeah.
And so for him to come up with an idea that is an old idea,
mm-hmm.
but is a good idea,
mm-hmm.
was great. The thing that's really holding me in is Roy and Jamie.
Yeah, Roy and Jamie are great. I thought the...
Roy getting angry because he was coming up with puns and just fucking furious.
That's me at work. I do that at work and I get really angry at myself because my immediate boss at work is a wonderful pun master. Like, he's very skilled at it. It's not his only string to his bow, and he doesn't do it a lot. But when he does it, it's really good. But I, like, for some reason being around him, I just keep doing it. And I'm like, I'm really angry at myself because they're always half-assed. I'm like, Adam, stop.
Yeah.
I understood Roy. I did not like the dick string thing. Like, I thought that was too slapstick and too much and kind of... Like, I got the point of it, but it just was... I think I'm tired of all of the half-assed attempts at things when I'm like, this is nearly 60 minutes. It's meant to be a sitcom.
Yeah.
Why are you bothering me with, like, this dick string thing when you could just barrel through a half-hour show?
And, you know...
If it was two half-hour shows, I would have loved the dick string.
Yeah. Look, I wasn't into the dick string thing either. I thought it was a bit on the nose, to be honest. But I do have to admit, it was mildly redeemed by how much Roy was enjoying it and his mild disappointment when they didn't go back to it.
Oh, when he had them all attached to Jamie. Yeah, that was hilarious.
And then it's like, but there's, you know.
That's the thing. It's like last week I hated the I love that he got a little storyline to himself, but I hated the whole jazz sequence in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
But then I got that threesome joke and I'm like, was hilarious.
Yeah, the threesome joke was fake. Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes at work I say to my writers about certain questions, I'm like, I don't really like this question. I love this joke, but this is a joke in search of a question.
Yeah.
And we do things the other way around here.
Yeah.
Like, this should
that's
be...
stand-up.
Yeah, this should be a question.
Yeah.
And you should just organically find a joke. And if you don't, Tom will. Like,
yeah,
but like, don't let the tail wag the dog. And I feel so much this season the tail is wagging the dog.
Yeah,
someone's sort of a funny gag.
Yeah,
and they've tried to find their way there.
Yeah,
with the characters, and it's like it's not okay.
Quiz shows, question, joke, TV storyline, joke.
Yes,
stand up, Kermit the Frog figurine in the arsehole. Anyway. That was just for Adam. Even though it's flawed.
Everyone's delightful. The performances are great.
Yeah.
The writing is still really good. It's just someone needs to go through it with a big fucking red pen and cross out half the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, why is it an hour?
I would have been happy to have it for twice as long with half the episodes and keeping them super tight.
Yeah, I don't know why they've gotten so fat. It's very annoying. I had the same problem with mate, Buckethead and his puppet son.
Hang on, what? Sorry?
Mandalorian.
Oh, the Mandalorian, yeah.
Buckethead and
mate.
Buckethead and the puppet son.
Mate, like look, I just want Mando and Grogu. I don't give a shit about fucking anything else.
No.
I've got Andor for meaty stuff.
Yep.
And for this, I just want the voice of Pedro Pascal and the Muppet.
Yeah. And some, you know, occasionally some shooting.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a monster. A
little bit of action.
Maybe they do like, you know, like I wish it was more episodic where it was just, you know, like The Fugitive where, there's an ongoing storyline.
Littlest Hobo.
Yeah, The Littlest Hobo. I used to love The Littlest Hobo.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow I want to settle down.
I made that reference to a friend of mine who is 12 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And I mentioned she had no idea what I was talking about. And then I showed her. She was like, was that a show? It was such a show that you could make that comment as a shorthand on stage and people knew what you were talking about.
It was the best show.
I felt the same about The Mandalorian. But once again, you know, even when I was getting annoyed, they put Grogu in that thing, just pressing no. That was funny. Him taking food, that was funny.
It's all like
found the moment that he used the Force to protect them to be actually quite moving.
Really sweet.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, finally when he fit, like, because I love that it makes him tired.
Yes.
He's just like, blonk.
we all get that. It all makes sense.
I've been using the Force for ages. Oh, I'm conked out.
Time for a nine eyes. So let's, what about Lucky Hank? Are you up to date with Lucky Hank?
Am I up to date? No, I don't think I am. The last one I watched was The Dinner Party.
Oh, okay.
With the grandfather clock.
I reckon there's two more episodes to go of that.
Which I loved. And the big revelation about Hank's childhood was really well handled, I thought.
Yes.
I love how funny that show is. Like, it's really...
Yeah.
Like, again, they have this bunch of really dysfunctional characters.
Yeah.
And when it's funny, it's because the characters are being funny. Like, old mate trying to pick up the woman in the open relationship.
Oh, that was a highlight. That was honestly so. It also feels like a TV series that is. I think it's getting better the further it goes.
Yeah.
What is his name? Is he
Dietrich Bader? Is the actor?
Yes, he is so funny, feel like he's getting funnier the further it goes. It feels. I'm really enjoying it. It feels like it's like a notch below where I would like it to be. Like it's one level down, but it might be, if it comes back for a second season, it might be like, okay, we've got the first season. Boil. We've learnt what works and what doesn't work.
I don't know, because it's based on a book. Maybe it's only meant to be a season. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay. But Mairéad Enos is, oh my God, amazing. Like just the looks she gives.
Mate.
When Bob Odenkirk's character, when Hank is just being a dickhead, just like withering kind of like, nah, this is not okay.
She's very good at the blank smile.
Yeah. I'm smiling, but I'm not happy.
Yeah. but it's one of my criticisms of it is they have such a strong team of actors. And people go missing for ages. The kid who plays Finney, who felt like he was just going to be so important, just disappeared for about three episodes. And then, not giving anything away, but turned up in the latest episode. And Finney's back. Great. The same with Meg, who works at the bar. Going to be a...
The daughter of the...
Disappears.
The alcoholic... Tudor,
Yeah, but maybe that is something, as I said, still really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Kind of like a perfect Thursday show.
Yeah.
I'm glad I get to Thursday. Oh, Lucky Hank.
Yeah.
Great. So something that you finished that I have not finished, and I am at the end of episode 6, which I'm sure I'll have to remind you of what happened in that, is Beef.
Oh my God, how good is Beef?
So I can't.
Like, every week is like a brilliant short film, but it just happens to be about the same characters.
Oh, my Lord. I have gotten to a point... Like, I can't watch one episode at a time.
Oh, yeah, no, because it's... You know, you said a three-hour movie of anxiety, and this is a three-hour movie of anxiety. They just chopped it up into half-hour chunks.
Yeah, like bite-sized. Bite-sized chunks of
like, how can Beef be so, like, packed with... comedy and drama and like amazing performances, and it never really outstays its welcome past half an hour, and yet Ted Lasso's going for a full hour and
it's too much
and it feels like an hour.
It feels like an hour.
Beef doesn't feel like you get to the end of half an hour and you're like, I need a break.
Yes.
I need like give me a little release valve.
And all the characters are great.
Everyone's all, great.
Like, Steven Yeun is just magnificent. And, you know, we've loved him since The Walking Dead. Yeah. I don't know if we'd seen him in anything before. But I'm so glad that his career has kicked on.
Yeah.
Ali Wong, very good at the pained smile.
Yeah.
The blank smile.
My sister and I were talking about it yesterday and... Yeah, we're talking about how the class system, which is in a lot of things from kind of like South Korean creators.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a big part of Squid Game. It's a big part of Parasite. It's like it's a really kind of like, I know it's a big thing in America, but America likes to pretend everyone's equal so they don't put it in their entertainment. But obviously people of South Korean descent are just going, no, it's a big problem. Like, some people have so much money, it's stupid.
Yeah.
And other people have nowhere near enough money and it's stupid.
Yeah.
And it's like that kind of... Also, the fact that the richest person in the show is white, I find really telling. Like, that it's like, there's Maria Bello and she treats money like it means nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got Steven Yeun's character who... is just desperate. Drowning in debt and
trying
anything to just keep his head above water and live the American dream. And it's, I just love that there's all of that going on and it's never really spoken out loud. It's just, it's a lot of show don't tell. It's like, here's Maria Bello's house. What does she collect? Fucking crowns.
Crowns. Yeah. I know. It's magnificent.
She's so great as well. Like, she's toxic and I love it.
She's really good. She's really
so
good.
So great in it.
And I feel like I've met her
on a
number of occasions.
Yes.
The young brother, Paul.
Oh.
He is...
Oh, my God. Young Mazzano. He's completely hot.
Like, I had a feeling.
There's a couple of times when he's taking Instagram photos of himself. I'm like, dude, put it away. I'm going to sprain an eyeball.
Oh, I know. Well, the last thing that just happened was Danny just threw Isaac under the bus by claiming that he drove the car. And Isaac's kind of a crosser. That's a fascinating character as well because I kind of don't trust him. And I think he is really positive and he's kind of a man of his word, even though he's completely dodgy.
Yeah. But I'm just like, I don't understand why Danny wants to hang out with him, because it's like, as Paul keeps saying, he lost he's the reason their parents lost the motel.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
he's a dodgy asshole.
Yeah.
Like why?
But they kind of show you how
charming
is and like, charismatic and he's funny.
He's so funny.
Oh, my Lord.
Although, you know, problematic in real life, but...
Well, I don't quite know that story, but...
Yes,
it's
confusing.
Didn't he just write some...
He said some horrific stuff on a podcast.
Oh, yeah, well, you know.
We're right here doing it ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, he did all the interstitial paintings.
Oh, did he really? They're great.
He's an artist. Like,
right.
Yeah, and he did all the paintings that are on... I say interstitial, this is the opening titles of each episode. But when you're watching a whole bunch at once, they feel like interstitials.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I said, I can only watch one episode at a time.
Well, I think we watched the last four all in one go.
Right.
Because it was like, I've got to get into the next one.
Okay.
And there's more to come. You are like, there's so much delicious shit.
Well... Big shout out to Ashley Park as Naomi, who is fucking awful and I love her.
She's amazing.
But I can't go past George.
Oh.
He is...
George is the dumbest person alive. Joseph Lee. I love him.
He is like... So he's just broken up with Mia because he thinks that his mum's onto it. But the mum's been trying to suggest that she knows that Amy's... Anyway, and Danny's been wanking to the picture of Amy's bum and doesn't realize that it was Amy's bum. Like that is all just gold. Just gold.
George, the guy who plays George is in Star Trek Picard. He's the tactics officer on the Titan. And I think he's Bajoran. Anyway, it has like seven lines in it.
He's so funny. Like every time he's on, I'm rapt because he is such a dickhead.
There are a couple of scenes where he's called upon to do as much dramatically as some of the other actors.
Right.
And personally, I don't think he's quite
up to it.
Up to that. Like, he's great at being...
The comedy's good.
Yeah, and he's great at being, you know, a dickhead. Like, he's great at being, like, super sensitive and, you know, and, like, what was your favorite line the other day? Oh, I look at at her Instagram for the captions.
I look at her Instagram for the captions. Is the modern? I only get Playboy for the articles.
I know, it's so good.
It was like that is honestly one of the best lines in the series. I love it.
But yeah, he's that kind of like, he's so trying to convince himself that he's, you know, good and amazing.
Yeah.
And his terrible art. It's that everyone tries not to tell him is terrible, but it's quite clearly awful.
It's like a rainbow dinosaur took a shit.
They all look like lumps of shit.
Yeah. It's great.
Colourful shit.
Three more shows to discuss with you. Are you up to date with Barry?
Yes. To the point where I keep calling Gary, Gary.
Great. No-ho Hank.
No-ho Hank is my favourite.
So for people who are watching Barry and might not be across this, the Prestige TV podcast on the Ringer Network has Sean Fennessy interviewing Bill Hader after every episode. And he did it for season 3 as well. Yeah. And they are, if you're enjoying Barry, I highly recommend this podcast because Bill Hader is a legend and is very insightful on how they come about things and why they do things. And
I have not listened to that, but one of my favorite things from this week is that there was such a beautiful parallel between what I always forget the name of the girlfriend.
Sally.
Yep. What Sally was saying to that actor who came in.
Yeah.
She was just being bullying her and being an asshole to her.
Yeah.
But everything she was saying to her was essentially, it's almost like she was talking to Barry.
Yeah.
Like, because it's almost like she's the audience talking to Barry because we have put up with some terrible behavior from him.
Yeah.
As a character because he's so charming and we love him.
Yeah.
And then.
And he's the lead.
And he can't help but. No. And it's Bill Hader. He's a delight.
Yeah.
But then at the end, when No-Ho Hank basically says the same thing.
Yeah.
To Barry, it's like the audience being allowed to go, oh, okay, I might have to let go of who I care about in this show.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really interesting turn. Like, to have that as a foreshadowing, like her saying, you're just getting by on being charming and your big boobs and your big hair and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, Hank just basically becoming our viewpoint of like, you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. A psychopath is calling a psychopath a psychopath.
Well, he completely forgot that he'd turned to the feds.
Yeah.
Completely forgot. So when he's called out on it, he's a bit like, what?
What?
And because he's only ever in the moment. He's never anything else.
And also the feds thing is not about him selling anyone out.
No.
It's about him trying to trap someone into living a life with him away from everyone they care about.
Well, he protects her. She makes him... Yeah, he makes her feel safe.
Yeah, but...
Sure.
he doesn't.
Gene Cousno. Oh, my God. Henry Winkler. Like, has he won any Emmys? Because
he's been nominated.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A few times.
In that second episode when he's doing the performance to the journalist.
God, so funny.
And Bill Hader in the podcast said that there had been another scene where you could see him getting sweatier, but it was so much funnier to see the start of it and then kind of get to the end and he's drenched in sweat. So the when the journalist goes and visits Barry and he says, it took him 3 hours, but he told me. That was an ad-lib. He just dropped that in and they were like, great, great, let's keep that.
Of course it was a three-hour one-man show.
One-man show. the father of the woman that was murdered, and I can't think of what
Bunny from The Wire.
Yeah. What's he getting up to? Like every time they see him, like he's cleaning out the back of his car. What did he do to that journalist that he's freaked him out so much he now speaks German?
I don't know. That was mad. Also, I love Gene's agent. Like throwing the computer in the pool in the background.
Oh, yeah. Like the like the car crashing. That was all great.
Like when he's like, I talked to the so-and-so from Vanity Fair, and then it just cuts to a wide shot of like, crash.
Yeah. Well, also you hear him smashing up that room, and then you hear, oh, no, sorry, this is the kitchen. Like, mate, focus on what you're doing.
So many. Do you know one of my favorite things was there was a beautiful setup and payoff of the...
podcast?
Yes. The criminals, the murderers for the podcast, and then you see Fred Armisen just sweating.
Oh, man. Well, they said, you know, their podcast is gadgets that don't work, and then it blows off his hand. Like, that whole scene. Like, you know, so Hader and his crew have never been shy in reminding us that Barry is not nice and we should not be following Barry. But they give us explanations for Barry.
Yeah.
And... then when he ends up in a scene where someone's trying to assassinate him, they're like, oh, I hope he's all right.
I know. It's, yeah.
And he's acting so good, like grabbing the random shield, shooting the guy. I'm also, Fuchs is making me laugh. Stephen Root as Fuchs.
Stephen Root is like MVP in everything ever.
He's back and forth on giving him up, not giving him up.
Oh, I know.
Trying to come in.
Just, anyway. But also the things that just like trigger him, like he's like, I hate Barry. Barry's the worst. He's like, and then he's like, just happens to see a scene from Rain Man. It's like, oh, that's me and Barry. I can't portray Barry. It's like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, they're all, mate.
And then just constantly play that Rain Man music at the end of the episode.
So funny. Also, Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro for no good reason.
He got, once again, this is off the podcast. He got in touch with Bill Hader and said, I love the show. I'd love to be on it.
Can I be on
it? And so they were like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's a character called Toro. And then he was really like, it really upsets me that I'm not into his movies because I love him so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was constantly on.
I really enjoyed Nightmare Alley. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, I didn't mind Nightmare
That's a really
Alley.
Good film. Yeah. And I enjoyed the, I know he didn't really direct any of them, but I enjoyed his Cabinet of Curiosities for the most part.
I did not watch that, but supposedly on set he was. So they're all friends with Alejandro Iñárritu. Is that how you?
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, Iñárritu kept texting Bill Hader saying, "Oh, Toro reckons you just don't know what you're doing." Like they were just kind of they were like
just negging him.
Yeah, pressing his buttons. Oh, you're going to shoot it that way? Like, but it was anyway. It was just
Oh, Pinocchio is also good for a Del Toro.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Well, I do love him, but he was so good. It was his idea. They wanted him to be a little bit Edward James Olmos in Blade Runner, and so he brought in his own cane and everything, and they just came up with that look themselves. But it's funny. I'm really how many episodes are there to go?
I don't like to know how many episodes there are or anything. Also, because sometimes they blindside you. Like a couple of shows that I've enjoyed recently have ended on episode 9, and I'm like, what? Do you mean there's no one next week?
Yeah, yeah.
How is that the end?
Yeah.
What is...
Aww. I'm disappointed that it's ending, but I think it's the right decision.
Yeah, I think they've painted themselves into such a corner now that it would feel weird to keep going. Like it would become...
Yes.
Have you watched Search Party?
No.
They painted themselves into like 5 corners over 5 seasons.
Right.
And all of them are more ridiculous than the last. But because it's more of a... It's kind of like a sketch comedy show that has a weird, vague plot.
Right.
So you kind of... You're like, oh, yeah, I'll run with it because it's mostly comedy. And it's mostly stupid. But yeah, they paint themselves into the tiniest little corners. And by the 5th season, I think there was like a zombie apocalypse that went for about 4 episodes.
Right. It's like, what is happening here? Like, seriously, what is happening?
You're like, what? You can't come back from that. But I thought that at the end of like every season. It's like, oh, they can't bring this back. Oh, no. There we go.
Well,
oh, they're alive again? Whatever. Yep.
They're going bonkers. 2 shows to discuss. Let's go the finale of one of our favorites in Perry Mason.
Oh my god,
it was great.
It was so good.
It this season, we've discussed this before. I thought the first season was great.
Yeah,
I have loved this season, and the finale was full of ramifications, which is like it wasn't, you know, and that's the end of the season and reset. You can't reset.
No.
But it will continue, and it finished like I felt weirdly distressed when Paul said, hey, I can't work with you anymore because I've got to work on stuff. And it's like, well, you've got to come and work for him. You're Paul Drake.
You're Paul Drake. That's who works with Perry Mason.
Perry ending up where he ends up.
Yeah, that's not okay.
A half win.
A half win.
A quarter win, maybe.
Well, I mean, realistically, there was...
They escaped the death sentence.
Yeah, but they did kill someone.
But they did kill someone, and the right person went in, which was good.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was great. It was just so great.
And also, you know, we got to have, after weeks of going, is Hope Davis, like, why is she in this if she's going to be nice? Because I know she's always turns out to be not nice.
Yeah.
Like, always waiting for, like, the other shoe to drop with her whenever she plays anyone.
Yeah.
And then, she was getting stung in the face by bees.
Oh, my Lord. Right? Like, I'd forgotten that was a thing. You know, like as soon as you saw it, it was like, oh, yeah, that's right. That was a choice that was a
thing people did.
So it was funny. Earlier on, I'd been saying to you, I hope she stays in the show.
Yeah.
And then when she turned out to be, you know, the mastermind, I was like, oh, well, I guess she'll only be in the season. But it looks like I'm getting my wish.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Like, I love the idea that the kingpin of this storyline is Hope Davis.
Yeah. I also love her house. Like, I don't know where they filmed that, but that is spectacular.
Yeah.
Like, that's another thing with this show. Like, I know, obviously, there's a lot of CGI and stuff, and they're recreating, you know, unfinished Colosseums and things like that.
Yeah.
But so much of it must be just location work and finding old cars to stick on a street.
Yeah.
And like, where are these places?
Yeah, it looks magnificent.
It looks incredible.
Yeah. Matthew Rhys as Perry Mason is everything you want in a lead.
Yeah.
He's got that hangdog look. You're on his side. He's so charming. He's such a fucking loser.
Oh, he's so...
It's all good.
I read a really interesting article about, you know, he rides that hilarious Harley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like that 30s Harley.
Yeah.
Apparently that's an electric bike that they stuck things on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like they tried to get a Harley. And then you add the audio. Yeah. And they just made it sound like that. In post, because it's too loud to film with, because it would be, then you'd have to do all the sound in post.
That's interesting. Yeah. I did not realize that.
I thought that was fascinating. It's like an electric bike that they've stuck things on.
Couple of other also it looks like Catherine Waterson will come back, which is a win because she's great. So when I was not expecting that in the finale, so it was like, oh, that's good. I liked her character, and I'm the idea, you know, whenever season 3 comes along, it'll be 6 months later, you know. Or
3 years, as it was last time.
Yeah, it's great. So I was happy about that.
Also, Justin Kirk getting out from under
what
he was kind of, because I felt like they kind of sidelined Hamilton Burger.
That's funny. It makes Mum happy that Justin Kirk is Hamilton Burger.
Yeah.
That maybe I should come up with a character called Kirk Burger. But getting him out and so he can be more active.
Yeah. I did love that they kind of, you know, his deputy went full racist in the court. And you kind of like, that's the other thing I love about it. You know, you never need to have a scene where Ham says to him, it's like, I'm taking off the case because you're a fucking asshole racist.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm taking off the case. Because I won this case for you. I've done this and that and the other thing. It's just like, just stop arguing. Like, it's just, they never have to say it, but it's like, it's clear.
Yeah.
Like, that his prejudice is exactly why he doesn't want him working there.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was great.
Mark O'Brien is the actor. Really good.
So
I hated him so much.
Yeah. Grotesque.
Della Street has taken my Kim Wexler hole. She's fantastic. Every scene with her is great.
Yeah.
Shea Whigham, always
great.
Magnificent. Chris Chalk as Paul Drake is great.
It's just such a real well put together show. I just wish they went through more cases. Like As a kind of like a crime fan of like crime fiction and detective shows and stuff, it just, like, I get spending 10 episodes to tell one Chinatown style story.
Yeah.
But it just kind of like, I'm just like, oh, I wish they had like two or three cases on the go.
Yeah, it'd be fun to kind of, that's a really interesting idea. Maybe starting the next season where you're halfway through one case, they're working on the next one, and then another one pops up, and then maybe they all kind of interlink in some way.
Yeah, that would be great. But yeah, it was just like, I don't know if you've ever watched Murder One.
No. Which
the first series of Murder One was one case.
Yes.
And it went for like the entire 13 episodes or whatever it was, or 26 or something, it went forever. And then second series where Anthony LaPaglia took over, it was like the cases were like 4 or 5 weeks long, and they kind of overlapped and dovetailed. So you'd have, you know, more than one case going on.
Oh, right. Right. And okay.
I feel like, yeah, that would be more interesting, because there was a period where it was just like, it was obvious who the murderer was.
Yeah.
Like, because they'd found out, and then the rest of the time was trying to find out who was pulling the strings. And it's like, well, I'm just not getting the satisfaction of this particular case until the last episode, and they tie everything up. It's like, I would have been happier if they'd gotten out of that one.
Yeah.
And then there was some other, you could easily confect another crime that's also somehow linked to the dumped fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like someone else could have been about to dob, or
you
know, about to become like go onto the grand jury, which is what happened to the you know, instigating case. But I just felt like from someone who enjoys these kind of things, like that core crime was solved really early on.
Yeah.
And the rest of it, the conspiracy, was like, well, I'm happy following this, but I need another crime to solve.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I need more detective work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe they could have solved it, and then the next could have been him trying to keep himself out of court.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. Dyara Kilpatrick as Clara Drake.
She was so good.
She was really good as well. Like, that is, in lesser TV shows, she's just the wife.
Yeah.
But in this...
Yeah, she gets a scene. She gets
her relationship with, you know, living with the brother. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That's all hard of that's work. Great.
But just like, you know, she got to do some investigating. Yep. She got to, you know... Well, yep. Paul had a little nine eyes.
Yeah. So let's finish on the most bonkers TV show I have seen in who knows how long.
It's insane.
Mrs. Davis.
Mrs. Davis.
So this is what the synopsis says. And like, for anyone who has no idea what we're about to talk about, I'm not adding anything to this. This is exactly what it says just on Google. After being ousted from her covenant, Sister Simone vows to destroy the one responsible, a powerful artificial intelligence known as Mrs. Davis. To exact her revenge, Simone makes a deal with the algorithm and is thrust into a dangerous world of secret societies, religious conspiracies, and age-old legends as she searches for the whereabouts of the most cliched and overused MacGuffin, the Holy Grail. To complete the ridiculous and far-fetched task, Simone teams up with her rebellious ex-boyfriend, Wiley, who is now the leader of an underground resistance movement dedicated to stopping Mrs. Davis. Together, they face a variety of mysteries and powerful forces as they search for the Grail, the one thing capable of destroying the algorithm once and for all. As they grow closer to completing their quest, Simone must confront her past, prove the strength of her faith, and uncover long-hidden secrets as she fights to liberate a society that may not want to be freed. And I feel like that is just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, that's not even a quarter of the first episode.
Like, so... I'm loving. I'm loving this.
I've got to say, if you're on the fence about it, two decapitations in the first 12 minutes will kind of make you go, "What is this show?
Oh my lord!" It is so outrageously violent. Mm-hmm. Not all the way through, but when violence happens, it is violence. Betty Gilpin, is that how you pronounce
it?
Oh
yeah,
she is. Mesmerizing.
And I love that she also thinks everything that's happening is kind of bonkers.
Yes.
Like,
I like that as well.
She is a great viewpoint character in that, you know, she'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean this is happening? And it's like, Yes, I had that question, but everyone else seemed to just be taking it in their stride.
Yes.
But thank God you're questioning it because it's insane.
It's insane. There are ongoing jokes that make me laugh every time. Mm-hmm. In particular, every time they make a phone call on remotes, they break them so no one can follow them.
Like burner phones.
The burner phones is never not funny.
The crazy Australianisms that...
Is that Chris Sam Dimon, or no? What's his name?
Is it JQ or Q? Whatever his name is, but it's Dimonatopoulos.
Yeah,
he's from what's that show Gary loves? Silicon Valley.
Oh yes, that's where he's from, right?
Yeah.
Someone told me that he was from Silicon Valley, and I've never watched that.
Oh my God, you would love it.
Yeah, right.
It's as for a show that just like, you know, just occasionally something will come up and you're like, that was from 8 episodes ago.
Right, right, right. Well, he is JQ as the... by the way, his Australian accent is...
Yeah, for a Canadian, he's doing pretty well.
Like, yeah, it's...
but just like having a spoon of Vegemite before jumping out of a plane. Right, like, what the fuck?
you feel like this is everything that Lindelof got from making season 3 of The Leftovers in Australia. Melbourne. You know? He is so funny. And he just walking around with his shirt undone.
It's undone for no good reason. Wearing a jumpsuit completely undone. To like, the navel and lower.
I'd never seen Jake McDormand before, but no, he is.
He's really good.
He's really good. There's something kind of Kurt Russell about him.
Well, I was going to say he reminds me of Kurt and Goldie's kid.
Oh, Wyatt. Yeah.
He's in Captain America. Yeah. Yes. There was something about him that like had that kind of vibe.
He's so funny. He is so funny. Also, like when we say, how did this get made? Because I can't work out how you even pitched this idea. It's also on Peacock. And Peacock is one of the lesser known platforms in the States. And it's like, you know, you're seeing all these shithouse shows being made like on Amazon, like Citadel, which looks awful.
Citadel looks like the kind of show I will enjoy. I mean, I just watched the entire series of The Night Agent on Netflix, which is terrible. And Hong Chau is wearing a wig that looks like a hate crime. But it's... I enjoyed it because it's really... like, I can see where it's going. It's you know...
It's funny. I know some people that watch The Night Agent who actually think it's quite good, but say exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But they think it's good.
Yeah, it's weird because like they swear and I'm like, isn't this a network show? Oh, no, it's on Netflix.
Right,
like
right.
It's fine. Hong Chau can drop the F-bomb. But I'm like, it just feels weird because it feels like a really, you know, like a kind of like half-assed NCIS or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just, you know, it's a really straightforward show. It feels like a Kiefer Sutherland show that Kiefer was like, oh, no, I'm not making that.
Yeah. I know you've pitched it to me and written it for me, but I've made better versions.
Yeah,
of this.
I made this
Citadel.
Already.
Alan Sepinwall did a review of Citadel and said it is a $300 million blunder. It is so.
That's all of the
bland.
Amazon shows. Like so many of them feel like they're made by an algorithm.
Well, that's what we've heard about.
And I Mrs. Davis feels like it's made by an algorithm. But
humans who understand how algorithms work.
But, oh no, it feels like it's, I mean, the fact that it's about an algorithm.
Yeah.
But it also feels like it's made in that way of, it's almost like an executive said, here's the things everyone likes.
Yeah.
And someone's gone, all of those things can't fit in the same show. And then went, maybe they can.
Maybe they can. Maybe they can. It's a TV show about a nun who was raised by magicians, who seems to hate magicians, who wants
he's
to
hunting
get
them down.
Who's hunting them down and wants to get revenge at this algorithm for killing her father, who her mother doesn't believe is dead, with a secret society that is passing on the grail that they've all agreed is an on the nose MacGuffin.
Yeah.
And also, just in case you didn't think this was bonkers enough, Simone, who is a nun, manages to go to a place where she catches up with her husband, who is in fact Jesus.
Well, all nuns are married to Jesus.
But this is what I mean. It's like, so this is like, it feels really blasphemous, but it's also nuns are married to Jesus. It's and in this late, in the last episode, when Jesus is kind of going,
You knew like, the deal.
You know I'm married to heaps of nuns.
Yes. And it's the implication being you're not the only nun.
You're not the only nun.
You're not the only one in my life.
When she angrily ate that full cake, I was rat. Like, I'm...
We're so, like, again, Betty Gilpin is just compelling.
Compelling.
Even eating a cake.
Yeah. So,
the king cake. Like, it's the whole...
And every episode, and nearly choking on the baby.
Yeah. Ah! Every episode is berserk. Like, the weird Pope and his weird doppelganger.
Oh, yes. Like, it is one of those shows where it's like, oh, yeah, remember when she was young and she opened the door she wasn't meant to open and she got fucking shot with an arrow?
I know. Oh, my God. Elizabeth Marvel is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's always great. I love her in everything, but she's particularly terrifying in this. Did you watch The Dropout?
No.
She played the mum in that as well.
Right,
and
right.
Just in a way that kind of made you go, oh, you are really good at playing a mum who's just a little bit cold and making people behave a little bit weird.
Yeah, yeah. There was a whole episode called Excalibur Battle.
About like, this is a thing. I feel like Lindelof watches a lot of reality television and goes, how can I turn this into a script? Or maybe he just watches Survivor. Like, you know how Lost felt like Survivor?
Yeah.
But batshit crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like in Survivor, when you get someone's entire backstory, they're voted off the show.
Yeah.
In Lost, you got someone's entire backstory, they got killed by a smoke monster.
Yeah. Yeah, it all makes sense.
And this was an episode based on those Lost challenges where, I mean, Lost challenges, Survivor challenges, where people have to just stand on a stick for like 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just the same thing. I was like, how has he turned this like into an actual dramatic episode? Like, this is very strange.
Also, once again, the joke of every time someone wanted to talk to him using two tins with a bit of string.
I know.
And them saying, I can't believe this actually works so well. This is great. Their comedic timing is great. What happened at the end of episode 4? So are we now at the end of episode 4? Is the Grail something that turned up in an advert that they made because they spent too much money on shoes?
Yeah.
It's fucking funny.
I will say one problem I have with it, and I had one of my listeners, lovely Damo, who listens to Adam Richard Has a Theory, was suggesting people watch this. He goes, it's got a kind of Doctor Who vibe. And I was like, I don't know what you mean. And I've realized the vibe is Stephen Moffat era Doctor Who.
Right.
Where sometimes... I don't think he signposted what was a joke and what wasn't a joke in the script.
Right.
So things were delivered as if they were of great import.
Yeah.
And they were stupid jokes.
Yeah.
Or throwaway kind of ideas.
Well, maybe they've been told to do it that way.
Yeah, maybe. And I feel like this is the same thing. It's like, is this meant to be part of the ongoing narrative or is this just a joke? Like, is this... sometimes I can't... And the jokes sometimes make me go... I don't know if I care because it's too silly. And then other times I'm like, oh, no, I'm really into it now. Like, one joke that kind of shat me was turning up to the bakery, finding it had been burnt down and that she just had the words the wrong way around and the other one was next door. And I'm like,
It's a
funny moment, but then I'm like... Yeah, but you're kind of undercut like the thrust and parry of the show.
But also, that was kind of like 90 seconds of something that wasn't needed.
Yeah.
But then also...
But still, it's an insane show. And I kind of keep watching it because I'm like, well, maybe... Yeah, like maybe the next one will explain whether... No, the next one's done nothing. That thing's just happened, been and gone now.
Well, once again, getting back to Seppenwall, he said this TV show is tonally all over the place.
All over the place.
And then he said, and I kind of love it.
Yeah.
I think the thing is that because they just lean into the comedy so hard that you just kind of accept.
Yeah. Like, you know, there were a lot of hilarious jokes about Wiley having a mustache. She's like, how do you eat through that thing? I'm eating fine. Like, you know, all that kind of thing. But then you see them flash back to when they were together and it's like, he's still got the mustache.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't a surprise for you.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I'd forgotten that.
And you just go, oh, so for them that was just a joke.
Yeah.
And it's because we're so used to with kind of like ongoing narratives, taking things as they've been said, as if they're gospel and they mean something.
Yeah.
Whereas in comedy, things that are said are jokes and they don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Until one day someone decides to pay it off. Like, let's make Jenny Piccolo a character.
Yeah.
You know, Chandler talks about his dad being a drag queen and then you actually cast Kathleen Turner to play Helena Handbasket.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, it's like, well, it's that weird thing of like, comedy is, you know, so many throwaway things, but this is also trying to set up like a weird mythology because it's science fictional and it's so it's sometimes a throwaway joke. You're like, is that a throwaway joke or are you creating more lore here? Like, what is and I sometimes find that difficult because it's a tonal thing. It's like, I feel like that was a gag and I don't need to care about it, but then what if it comes back?
Yeah.
No. Like the shoe thing. Like, why is Jagan Hagar from Game of Thrones obsessed with those shoes?
Right.
And then you find out, oh, he's got a giant warehouse full of those shoes.
And he wants to know where he got them.
Why does he have all the shoes?
I've just drawn a blank on his name and I'm desperately trying to look it up to finish on this. But, you'll remember. Mm. Her dad.
David Arquette.
David Arquette, thank you.
So good.
So good. Anyway.
He's great. He's bonkers. Bonkers. Like, basically playing a low-rent David Copperfield.
Yeah.
Who's... Because they're in Reno. It's not even Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, it's the crap other gambling town in Nevada. Yeah.
And he's just a good showman, but he's a dipstick.
Yeah, he's a dipstick. His wife is the most intelligent one. I'm worried that we're going to find out that what was being built in the room that she wasn't allowed to go in is Mrs. Davis.
Oh, right.
I'm worried that Mrs. Davis is her mum.
Oh, right. Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. Oh, well, let's throw it out there.
That's my fear.
Yeah.
But
you know what, so maybe Mrs. Davis is God.
Maybe.
And Jesus is working for...
Yeah.
I wondered why she kept eating the stuff that she was given. It was because she was in... Jesus land.
Yeah, it was really strange.
Anyway, you have to go. And but I just quickly, I mentioned this to Will Anderson.
Oh, yes.
And he was texting
me. Don't tell a stone person to watch this show. That is a bad idea.
Right. He watched all four in a row and he was texting me at different points. Like, he texted me once an episode at different points and essentially the text messages all said the same thing, which was essentially, how did this get made?
How did this get made?
And that's great.
And also, how did they get so many great actors in it? Like Margot Martindale's in it.
Yeah.
Like
it's,
the woman that plays the fake mum, who also was in Silicon Valley was in Lucky Hank.
Yeah, she's great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And there's just like so many bonkers cameos. You're like, how are you in this?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Well, I guess Lindelof has good cachet as well. And in the other creator, where does she come from? Tara?
I think she was an assistant on Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So, it's an interesting amalgamation of sensibilities. And
it's very strange.
Yeah, and it's great.
And it's expensive looking.
It looks really expensive.
Like, they've spent a lot of money building that windmill place. I don't think that's a real place.
Well, I don't reckon Excalibur Battle is a real place
Excalibur
either.
Excalibur Battle is definitely not a real place.
That looked... looked like a really big sword.
They're at the Vatican for some reason.
They're at the Vatican. Never not funny. All right, you've got to go.
Oh, also, Katja Herbers is in it.
Oh, yeah.
I love her.
She's great.
Like, it's insane. I feel like she has to, like, she's got to come back. Like, you can't just have her in two scenes. Like, I love her too much.
You would think so, but who knows?
Who knows? This show's crazy.
where can people find you?
Adam Richard Has a Theory is my daily podcast, ostensibly about Doctor Who, although I did go on about Star Trek Picard for a really long time the other day.
Yeah, right. It's all adjacent.
Yeah, it's all adjacent. And also, we have started up again, I Am a Memoir, The Meaning of the Meaning of Mariah Carey.
Yes.
And very soon, we're heading back into the regular verse, which is where we listen to J-Lo albums.
Right.
And we don't like them.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I did see that podcast was back because I saw you guys apologizing that it was back.
we're terrible.
That's great. And people can find me here after this little break. Mm-hmm. thank you for listening today, and thank you to Adam for joining me for that chat. Check out those TV shows if they sound to your liking. They're all great, and they're all interesting and fun on so many different levels. Check out Mrs. Davis if you can. That is really something else. Once again, a quick reminder for anyone living in Canberra, May 3rd, I will be at the Canberra Comedy Club performing with a bunch of locals, and I'm really looking forward to that. So I'd love to see you if you have time to come along. And also, if you're checking out those TV shows and have some thoughts, head over to the Big Squid Facebook page and let me know what you think. I'll be back next week, so I hope you enjoyed the weekend. Until then.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.